That great. Boy, I have enjoyed music here so much. It's just fun to be in this place. It really is. And Brother Floyd, before I forget, if you get a chance tonight before we all leave, if I could hear this group sing God is So Good one time, I'd like to hear that if you get a chance. And just to hear this group sing, I can't wait to get to heaven. Can you imagine a 10 million choir voice? Wouldn't that be something? I'm going to be able to sing then. I really am. They say I'm tone deaf. That's what they say. Now, I couldn't figure out, how do you know if you're tone deaf? Well, here's how you know. I figure out, if when you're singing, everybody around you sound off, you're tone deaf. Then I got it figured. I thought that up myself. I wonder why I hear, and I came last night and heard Brother Dave McCracken, and I think, well, he preaching last night, I'm preaching tonight. I know now, this is a conference for the mentally challenged. That's what it is. I'm mentally challenged. That's what it is. Now, he knew I going to get him. And you ought to see, right before I walk up, he run up. Oh, Brother John, I love you, brother. Oh, you're not getting out of that. But I tell you, last night, one of the greatest messages I ever heard on the family, I tell you. And, no. Oh, that wasn't nice, was it? No, I tell you though, I really want a copy of that because I have never been taught as clearly, plainly. Brother Dave, I was in that church in Rhode Island. Have you been in that building? And the actual part of building I in, it had on it 1778 when they built that building. And so I got up in pulpit. My Donna took a picture of me there. And just how that came alive, his preaching. And they were doing tour. They do tour things, see. So I telling man, I said, do you know that Pastor Williams was the same group I'm with? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, he said, no, what group are you in? I said, well, I'm Independent Fundamental Baptist. And he said, well, how do you know that? Well, first of all, what nothing joined. He had to be independent. What nothing joined. And the other. And I said he fundamental because he uses 1611 King James, and that's what I use. Amen. I didn't win him over, but I thought it good anyhow. But, boy, I am glad I'm Baptist. And I tell you, God good. I want to have a little part in the offering. And so everything on my book table tonight comes in, go to the college offering. And so I hope we can sell everything got back there. And I have a testimony book, a book tell my testimony. It's called God is So Good, Especially When Hurting. Got a book called Happy Book. It's a study on joy, happiness. Now, you'd be surprised. Dr. Davis, I get more criticism for a happy book than anything. You'd think something, but I have more preachers take a shot at that. Well, we're not supposed to be happy. We're just supposed to have joy. I got a book back there called The Happy Book. And I'm thinking, you know, Jesus said to disciples, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The psalmist said, yea, happy that people who God is the Lord. I wish he read his Bible, and that's all I do. You know, you can have both. Now, if that's going to mess your doctrine up, you don't have to get it. But for some of those, and I have some testimony CDs. One of them, my Donna, give her part on it too. Oh, I wish my Donna here. Her mother had stroke, and I got to leave early morning, go to Canada, fly Canada, preach, and I dread in going myself. I'm just afraid I'm going to get wrong line, end up some country, Australia or something. I hope somebody there know English. That's all I hope. Can get me out of that place. I hope I get in right line. Pray for me. Some of you have heard it. Might as well tell now what happened to me. I landed in airport, and I'm like in Concourse G and have to be in A in 10 minutes. And so, but I'm going to run for it. I fly one airline most of the time, unless another one beat them real good. But I've got about 800,000 miles with just this one in last 5 years. So they have a policy, if I physically in airport, they give me extra 10 minutes to get to plane. So it worth running for. Well, I can't run. But I have a roller bag because you get caught in airports. I fly about 50 weeks out a year, so you get caught delays. So I got a roller. Then I got a computer case top of that, and I just are running all I can run. And so I get down. I have to catch this little plane, and it's in this pod area. All the gates are bunched together, see? And I see lady shutting door. And I wave in my ticket, say, ho, please. I hear. She looked me, wow, you almost miss it. Now, hear what she did, God thing. She took my ticket. She tore it off, give me my part, and let me on, assuming I knew what I doing. Never assume I know what I doing. Never. What she didn't do is put it under a little machine. Had she done it, kicked my name out, she knew I'd get on the wrong plane, but she didn't do that. So she closed the door. I get on the plane. Now I've got this stub and my seat vacant. Nobody, oh, good. Oh, man. I put luggage up. I sit down and I said, thank you, Lord. And I asked him later if I have that back. I did. I on the wrong plane. Well, they close the door. They backing up. Then they stop. Pull back up. Door open. On walk four armed guards in black outfit. Now, they didn't have their weapon drawn, but they packing heat, buddy. I tell you. I look up there and I said this. Boy, somebody trouble. And I write too. They come right back to me. And so, didn't take them long to know I'm a mental case and not a terrorist. So they get my luggage, they escort it. All I could think, I'm going to prison life. I just know this will be end of it. I never see my Donna, nobody again. I've heard of these things happening, see. So only thing I knew to do was cry. So I just start crying. Well, they said, well, sir, now wait a minute. We're not going to arrest you. We know it's a mistake. So we're not going to arrest you. I'm not buying it yet. I'm still crying. So we're headed up the runway. And one of them, he felt so sorry. He put his hand around. He said, preacher, I promise you, we're not taking you to jail. All right. And so he said, why are you crying now? I said, because I've missed my plane for sure. I don't know where I'll catch the next one. And that lady let me on. She upholding door. And she heard me say, and she said, No, sir, you haven't missed your plane. Said the alarm I sent out shut the whole airport down. Your plane waiting on you right over here. I got to arm escort my plane. Is God good or what? Tell you God good. And I'm going Canada myself tomorrow. Pray for me. I did want to mention one book. I didn't write this. I was able to be a help and influence in some young people's life. This book called Hope in the Dark. Compiled by some dear fundamental brothers that I know and been able to be in churches where these teens, and these are hurting teens giving testimony. The whole book, that all it is, compiled. They allowed me to put a cover on it, tell about our ministry into a public school called Yes Clubs to get in the public school where kids are hurting. And so these testimonies are awesome. I wish every teenager, if you've got a good home, I wish you read this to learn what the other side have faced. You need to know. You cannot read this without crying. And then if you're having a hard time, what I like about it is nobody let them glorify sin. Like this, they may say I own drugs, but they don't go in detail. They may say I was immoral, but they don't go detail. I don't want to know that. But how God helped them through it. I was in Florida, and I love it when people give me notes. And I had a little 10-year-old boy, you think of this, give me a note. Hear a note say, Brother John, please pray for me. My heart is hurting. My daddy left my mama for another woman. Pray for me. I can't imagine pain hurts some people living through the pain and hurt. But there's hope in the dark. Amen. There's always hope. Would you stand and turn to Psalm 42? Psalm 42. I had a little kid come up to me camp last summer, last night of camp, and I'm leaving Tabernacle, walking uphill. And this little boy come up. Junior boy gave me a hug, and he looked up at me and he said, Brother John, thank you making this best week of my life. And when he walked on, I talked to a counselor, little boy from broken home. When they left to come, his mother was being detoxed of drugs when they put him on the bus to let him come camp. Oh, we live in a hurting world. God can use us, help them. Much of Bible written hurting people. Much of it. And when I couldn't read right, I listened to the book of Psalms. I listened whole Bible, but book of Psalms special. Here one of them that helped me. Psalm 42, verse 1. As a hart panteth after water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for living God. When shall I come appear before God? My tears have been my meat day night, while they continually say me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with multitude. I went with them to house of God with voice of joy and praise, with multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me in? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Miser. Let me drop down to verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? See, David talking himself. And God wanting us to know David talking to self. And David's asking his soul, why are you cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Here it is. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I don't know where every person here tonight is. But I do know, God, they've been so many times. You've used others to give me strength. You've used others to give me hope. Lord, I know times when this dear pastor, Dr. Sam Davison, has been used to help me and encourage my soul. Lord, I thank you for singers that have helped me encourage. I've been blessed by singers, Lord. Brother Floyd leading, singing, and these people who have sung special. My soul full tonight. But Lord, somebody's soul here might be discouraged, beaten down. And Lord, every one of us will sometime meet somebody like that. Oh God, may we be used to give them hope in the dark. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Oh, David going through his dark times. Psychiatrists have said, in studying the book of Psalm, that David meet every characteristic of a clinic depressed person. Every one of them. And I believe probably that why God used him in such a great way. You know, I've asked the Lord to let me have something when I get heaven. And I believe He might do it. I don't know for sure, but I believe He might. I've asked Him if I could have in my mansion a big screen TV. I have. Now, you think I'm a little weird, but I want to see Bible things in full life living color. I believe God got a DVD. I'm going to back up. I'm going to watch him go through Red Sea. Now, mansions have tall walls. I know that. I've not. How do I know that? I've never been in one, but I've read that. Come on. I've heard that. Is that right, Brother McCracken? Do they have tall walls? I got it. There we go. If he said it, we got it. And I want one whole wall. I just like to watch them go through, see that cloud of dust. Because I believe it's so dry, there wasn't a mud puddle one. It was dry. I'm going to watch a cross in living color. I love to tell young people, I'm going to watch David kill Goliath. I'm going to watch that teenager take that sling run toward that monster. Whoosh! Watch him fall. Now, I'm going to fast forward when he cut his head off because I can't handle gore. I'm sorry, I'm not in gore. But I want to see it. Going to be exciting. But I'd like to watch David. I'd like the Lord give me a picture of old David. Some of those times he wrote those psalms where his soul just poured out to God. Was he sitting alone somewhere? Was he with his musical instrument playing it some way? Boy, I'd like to just see how I got those songs. But three things that I see that David did that we can do from this passage of Scripture that can lift our hearts. And we can ask God to use us to lift the heart of others. Number one. David thirsted. He thirsted. Number two, he remembered. And number three, he listened. Now that the three things, those three things can help you when you're down, discouraged, hurting. Or if you know somebody hurting, you know somebody discouraged. They really can. And the first thing he did was thirst. He said, my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. Panteth after, thirsteth for God, the living God. He didn't just thirsty for the things of God. He thirsty for God. Sometimes if I believe a danger can be sometimes us preachers, if not careful, we thirst for power of God more than God. We should thirst more for God than just His power. Because if we not careful, I don't know you, but I know me. If not careful, I might could ask for power of God a little selfish reason. It could happen. That just me. I know me. I want God more than I want His power. I want God more than I want blessing. And listen to me. In your darkest time, it's going to be God that'll be more than anything. More than anything, it'll be God. When I think of David thirsting, I wonder how much do we really, really thirst for God. Now, I believe this. We will be more thirsty when hurting than any other time. Not just a fact. It's just true. I know I pray harder when I'm hurting than do other. Since I hear 2 years ago, I had a back surgery. They put a rod in and 14 screws in my back. They said when he looked at that, I thought I just heard it, you know, lifting a baggage plane. And the doctor said, I believe those are several years of scooter wrecks. Is what that was. I would be sore for days, but I'd get over it and so forth. But now I tell teenager I into heavy metal in the right way. But it's such a blessing. I have very little trouble, very little. And I remember one time I feeling so good, I got up and told audience, I'm not hurting a bit, not hurting one bit. I said this, I feel like I could do anything. Well, a doctor came up to me after service, said, John, that danger. I said, what danger? He said, it danger if you don't hurt. Because you feel like I could do anything, you might try. He said, it better if you hurt a little. Wow. You know Christian life like that. Usually it better if we hurt a little. Because then we don't feel like, wow, I can do anything. Oh, when you're hurting. I try to even be careful words like this. I try not refer to my situation as health problems, just health issues. They only become problem, I let them. But several of you have issues, greater mine, different mine. Every one of us different. But if that hurt make you a little more thirsty for God, then it's a good thing. One of the best compliment I had this past year, I had a church. I'd been there before, and I at that church, and there's a little kid came up to me. She said, I know you. I know you. You're that God is so good man. And I thought, oh, I gave her a hug. I said, that great. I would love it if they just forget my name and remember God is so good. I wrote a new track, Dr. Sam. I wrote a new track this past year. Telling about my life story. I wrote a track. It's a pretty track. And it good have wonderful truth in it. I tell and have picture me, my Donna, and it worth getting. My Donna's so pretty. But I forgot my name. It's not in there. I gave 4,000 of them away before somebody had courage to come up and tell me, your name not in here. I only guy in America who write a track about his life and forget his name. I'm working stealth. That's what I'm working. I learned that word just the other day. I used it, didn't I? But, oh, listen to me. Thirsting for God. You know, let me say this to pastors. Sometimes pastors will say, well, I don't have vision I used to have. Maybe you don't have vision, but sometimes a great danger is a man may have the right vision, but he has the wrong view of the church. Let me illustrate this. Let me give you three things about the church. If we can keep this view in mind, can help us. It's a family. It's a family. When I teased Brother McCracken about saying that best message on family or home, I sang it this way. I was learning about my family. How my family, the roots of my family go back. And every one of us, including me, I got some family members I don't tell a whole lot about. Boy, I like being able to trace my family back to Jesus, though. God's so good, isn't He? But, you know, if you don't keep that view of the church as a family, then it's going to change how you treat people, how you preach to them, how you act. You see, when you remember their family, let me just tell you something about Dr. Davison. Now hear how I'm saying this. He a hard preacher, but not a harsh preacher. That's what I like about him. We first time met was at a camp meeting. I was at a camp meeting, you preaching camp meeting. Now, I'm not really much camp meeting preacher. I found this out, camp meeting preacher. One thing you got to be able to do is turn red. And that's it. You turn the camp meeting preacher loose, he'd come pulpit. First thing he'd do, turn red. I don't know how they do it. I remember sitting the first time I heard one, and I'm ready to write some things down. All I got down was look in my God-given eyeballs, and I wrote that down. And it's good. I mean, He blessed me, but I just can't get like that. Now, Brother Sam, he can preach in any setting. Now, hear why? Because he preaches the Word every place. But I like it. In camp meeting, I like watching. He sort of like an airplane taking off. He taxi to the runway. He not one of them that grab it and turn red immediate. You just watch him working toward it. I just love watching it. Then that handkerchief start coming out. Then he turn red in his vein. Oh, I love that preaching when he take flight and soar, boy. I go with him. Now, me, I just, people amen me just out of courtesy. Is that all it is? Would somebody take that man out of the room, please? I'm glad I'm leaving in the morning, I tell you. Preachers, remember we're family. Don't be harsh. Be a hard preacher without being harsh. Remember also, we're a fold, a sheepfold. And our job as shepherds and ministers is love and care for sheep. When I studied sheep a few years ago for my camp, I remember one of the things I love about it. I visited farms where they had sheep and all kind of things. How that if one sheep get out, the other sheep bleat, bah, 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 and just keep. That's how one farmer said, I knew one of them out. I heard all rest of them. And to me, that beautiful picture, if one of us get away, the rest of us keep crying till you get them back. You get them back. You know, and some men, they just feel their calling is to shear, that all they ever do is shear. You've got to do more than shear. You can't keep just doing it. Now, once in a while, some shearing need be done. And I think that better done by a pastor or anybody else. But, oh, please, you got to feed them. Got to protect them. We're a fold. And then third thing I'd say is remember, we're a facility. We're a place. I like it how I did a word study on place in New Testament. I started with church, how he mentions place. Acts 2:1, we're all with one accord in one place. My study this summer, I do what call class time for kids at camp, and I love doing this, and I'll study all year on the theme. My theme this summer is all on altar. So I have made a brazen altar, 7.5-foot square. That's what it is in Bible if you take those cubit things and add them up. 7.5-foot square, 4.5 feet tall. And I've got a grate, and I'm going to put a teenager on there. And I got a fake fire. You turn it on and it shoots up. And I'm going to teach on his all on altar. I'm going to have his head hanging off part of the way. His all not on altar. He's still got his mind in wrong place. He listening wrong music. He watching wrong TV. He looking bad internet. Put his head on there. Then I have his feet stick off. He not all on altar. He going place shouldn't go. His feet carrying him. Put that on. Then have his hand hang out. Hold on to some money. His all not on altar. He not learned tithe yet. Not learned to give. That'd have been a good place. Amen. I just have to beg people for an amen. I believe teenagers can learn to tithe. Till he gets that money on there. He's all not on the altar. Some of you, you're all not on the altar yet. Because you're still holding on to something. You won't put it on. I was blessed. A couple of things. Let me just say. One is when they offered that animal, they would. And I'm so glad that this is New Testament day and the blood of Jesus is enough. And I don't have to kill no animal. I couldn't handle it. I'm sorry. I can't handle blood. But they would cut that animal open, take the inwards out, and wash it with water. You read it did. Now, not every sacrifice same, but this one did. And they wash it with water, then put it back on and burn it fire. It's just like it said to me, God said, no, you don't know. I want to make sure you're clean inside and out. If you give it me, I want the inside clean too. And, how God has always had a place for his people. They couldn't just go out and say, oh, okay, we just think we'll offer sacrifice over here. No, no, God had a place. God still have a place. They called local church. He feed and teach his people. But it's a facility. It's a place where hurting people can find help. It's a place where truth is upheld. Let me tell you four things hurting people need. Four T's. They all begin T. Maybe this help you. Four T's. Number one, hurting people need truth. Now, sometimes when a person hurting, they don't want truth. But you will never help them unless you tell them truth. You cannot help. Many times psychology tries to help hurting people by telling them things not true. And I tell you, that will not last. Maybe a few minutes they feel better, but it won't last. They need truth. Do you know we are only ones in the world have truth that can help hurting world? This whole world hurting. Hurting everywhere. No other place, no other people have truth that can heal that hurting heart. You can't heal it with the lies of a false teaching. Muslim doesn't have the truth to help that hurting person. The Hindus do not have the truth to help that hurting person. Only Jesus can help them. Hurting people need truth. Number two, hurting people need time. They need time. You say, how much time? I don't know. Everybody different. But don't try to make hurting people get better quick as you. See, you might have been able to come over that and go right on. I remember hearing one of the harshest preacher ever heard. When he got saved, I remember him telling, boy, he got saved. He threw away all kind of sin. I mean, by next day, he just got rid of all kind of things. And he's so harsh because he thinks everybody else got to do it exact way. But not everybody grow as fast. And not everybody heal as fast. Please give them time. Now, they're going to hurt you some while they're hurting. Hurting people hurt people. You know that? You know why you cannot have somebody that's been abused as a child, many times involved directly working with children? Because the great odds is if you've been abused, one day you will abuse. Isn't that sad? Now, Christ can break that. But those who have been hurt, many times hurt. But when you know somebody hurting, please give them time. The third T they need is touch. A hurting person needs touch. Now, they may not need that from me. If a woman hurting, she doesn't need my touch. She needs another woman touch her. But they need touch. If a man is hurting, maybe that good handshake, maybe that slap on the back. I remember one morning got up camping. I having a pretty rough morning. It'd been a little bit of a long night. And I remember as I walking down camp for devotion, I said, Lord, I sure could use a touch from you today. Well, I walking down and the man, a pastor over in Ballfield, walking and been praying devotion himself. I walking down, he walk over to me. He reach over there and he gave me a hug and he said, Brother John, I want you to know I love you. And he just went on. And it just sort of like Lord said, John, there, your touch. You said you need one. That I gave it to you right there. Oh, listen to me. This hurting world, they need somebody that will touch them. Be a help to them. And I guard every... Oh, I remember one time I had a lady little clingy to me when she coming and hurting and she clinging. And I took her and I set her down there and I said, over. And I said, now I'm going to tell you something. I said, right now, I'm going to offend you, but right now, listen to me. I said, you're a hurting woman. You have been through abuse. You've been through some terrible thing. But let me tell you, let me warn you. Don't touch men or let them touch you in your setting because it can hinder you from being healed and it can give a wrong signal. So I said, what I'm telling you, I'm trying to tell you because I care about you. Do you know a dear lady in South Carolina have my Donna's cell phone number? She'd been suicidal for near 2 years. She was abused as a little girl. She got to college and she decided that she'd go to a secular counselor. She went to this man. She began to give her story and her heartaches. This man took advantage of her and was immoral with her. And that compounded the pain and hurt she had already. And my friend, she's been suicidal. My Donna, every once in a while she'll call. When she really get low, I tell her, just call, please call. She's living on the edge of life and death. You've got to be careful. Hurting people want to be touched. But pastors, you know this. We've got to be careful. We cannot. Our wives or other women need to provide that touch. But for the men, I tell you, a good old slap on the back. Now, men are different. You know, women, when they're hurting, I mean, it's all they get together. They touch, they hug, they cry. Yeah, that dirty bum, he should have kicked him out years ago. You know, that's the way women are. Now, men, I tell you, I'm not into group hugs. I'm sorry. I'm just not into group hugs. Guy get his leg cut off. You know, hey, man, I'm sorry. God bless you. Love you. But don't be late tomorrow. Let's go on. Let's go on with life. Amen. But then the fourth thing hurting people need are tears. They need tears. Did you know that we are to feel how other people feel? Paul said we are to rejoice with them that rejoice. And we are to what? Weep with them that weep. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? The only one I know do that perfect was Jesus. He come to that funeral. And he did exactly what Paul told us to do. Here these hurting sisters are weeping. These people are weeping. And what did he do? He wept. Jesus wept. The perfect example of what Paul commanded us. Weep with those. But I see that he thirsted. Then he remembered here as we go back to Psalm. And he says, I remember the things when I pour out my soul. I'd gone to the multitude. I went with them, a house of God. And he'd speak of joy and praise. And I believe what's happening here is that some of the very people that David worshiped with and loved in the house of God turned and hurt him. Because nobody can hurt you as deeply as those you're close to. Nobody. The deepest you will ever be wounded will be by a friend, not by an enemy. The kiss of Judas. My. Listen to me, preacher. You know, sometimes preachers, I with them and as they share with me their heart and they'll say, oh, these people are backbiting me and cutting me down and so forth. And without trying to make it sound spiritual, sometimes I remind them, you know, if you're not having that done, you're probably not much like Jesus. Are you thinking? If we're like Christ, you're going to have somebody after you. I mean, some religious group, somebody in your church. The more you're like Christ, it not the less enemy you get. You're going to have some people that will hurt you. But when Judas kissed him, Jesus didn't say, you low down dirty dog. He said, friend. I wonder, we respond that. I try to be so careful, never say anything negative, and I never like anybody to tell me negative about another preacher. I just don't want, I'm sorry, don't have time for that. Sometimes what I will do, Pastor Sam, is I'll say, if somebody asks me about that guy, I'll say, he's a kind preacher. But I just don't tell him what kind. Sorry. So if you ask me about somebody, I say, they a kind preacher. That's all you're going to get right there. Oh, but listen, preachers, those that we've worshiped with, those that we've had our greatest time with, I believe that was part of why David crying. He could remember the times of great joy. But I also believe that remembering those time of great joy lifted his soul when he went through the heartache. I have a very poor short-term memory also. I have to write down even every illustration when I told about the God is so good, man. Man, I've got that. That's 101B in my brown life notebook. So I'll go back and I'll write that down. And if I am asked back next year, I know I use 101 brown, B brown in my notebook. I have two life notebooks. Young people, let me encourage you to, every time somebody give you something or something happened to you that can help your life, write it down and keep a notebook up. I got a bunch. I added one today. You hear the news of that man dealing with overweight problem, and he walk across America and they interview him. Did you? It was amazing how he said this. Listen, what I wrote it down in my life notebook under the category happiness. Hear what he said. He said, I thought I had to lose weight to be happy. And I found out I need to be happy to lose weight. In other words, the attitude come first. And it take care of the problem. That's a great principle right there. Some of you are sitting here thinking, oh, I got to do this and this and this or have that to be happy. No, stop that. Learn how to be happy. Amen. And you young people, if you're going to marry somebody happy. Amen. This is going to be a real profound thing I'm about to tell you. But don't forget it. Two unhappy people getting married doesn't make anybody happy. Would you remember that? I mean, you marry this person, you never see them smile, you never see them happy. They put one on once in a while for you. After about 10 years, they're going to stop putting it on. I tell you, my Donna, she's so good to me. She had to teach me everything. Reading, writing, and kissing. Now, guess which my favorite subject? If there's a student graduating tomorrow night and they can't guess the right one, don't even give them a diploma. Oh, my Donna, I put her. She'd give me little smiley faces like you would a kid for doing things. So when I got tickled, I was in. The young wrench boy, your student, he gave me a ride this afternoon. And he got a little thing hanging on there. I can tie my shoes. You know, I thought, well, that good. A college can teach him. Give him a ribbon for tying his shoes. That's really good. I've never known a college do that. That is good. Yeah, he's exception. Yeah, that right. He's... You know, I laughed with him and I remember my Donna giving me a smiley face the first time I tied my shoes. Remember doing that. Been so good to me. But he remembered. And then last of all, he listened. He listened. Deep calleth unto deep. He said, verse 7. There's a calling. Deep calleth unto deep. He's saying, oh my God, my soul is cast down. I'll remember thee. He mentioned three places. He mentioned from land of Jordan. Land of Jordan is a low-lying area. It's a valley. The land of Jordan is the river Jordan. I looked this up and it wind down through valley. Oh, remember God in the low places. Remember God in the low places. And I believe you will ask and you will find God closer to you there you ever will any other place. Remember him in the valleys. There behind our camp, we have up creek and that valley and it run down through there. And I love how some flowers grow down there in that valley. I go down there sometime and I just sit and look and try to learn what it's like in the valley. And there's some little flowers. My Donna gave me name, and I sorry in my life notebook, but I forgot to write it down. I sorry. And those are only grow where it's shady and damp and dark. They won't grow in direct sunlight. Some of the sweetest flowers you ever pick will be in the valley. They really will. He said, I remember thee, the land of Jordan. The dark places. Let me tell you the sweetest amen I've ever got. Can I tell you? It was in Connecticut. A few months ago, I up Connecticut. Little lady called Kathy. Kathy had cerebral palsy and she wasn't able to talk very well. And she had what called a communication board. And she could take her hand and it was sort of twisted and she could point to a word or spell out words on that communication board. I'd come in and I'd give Kathy a hug every night. And she would type on there, "I love you." While she was typing, she unable controlled her saliva, and her mother would have a little rag and would wipe it up so lovingly. And she'd type out. I remember I became just, it bothered me so much that it had like 24 main words, but it didn't have word love. I thought of any word in the whole world ought to be on there, it should be word love. I'm actually dealing with company to try to get them put it on there. I think if there's anything, she shouldn't have to spell out love. She should be able to point and say love. But I'm preaching and it really sort of quiet. It wasn't a shouty place or anything, and I'm not much anyhow. And I remember I just making statement. I said, nobody should call a person a vegetable. Never. Because I said, it's easy to put to death somebody called a vegetable. Well, you all amen and said that right now. But when I said that, it was just quiet. I mean, nobody really say anything except Kathy. And I remember Kathy saying, amen. That's the sweetest amen I ever got. Oh, in the valleys. Then he said, and of the Hermonites. The Hermonites. You know, that's the high places. Mount Hermon is the highest point, they said, in Palestine. Remember God in the high places. Lance Armstrong has won several Tour de France. He bicycle man, and he ride real, real strong bicycle. And hear what he said about winning. I wish you a Christian man, I really do. But hear what he said about winning. You never win on the downhill. You only win on the mountains. You can lose coming downhill, but you can never win. The only way to win is to climb the mountains. He said, sometimes they beat me on the straightaway. Sometimes they beat me on the downgrade. But I beat them every time on the mountain. Men, ladies, if we're going to win, we're going to have to climb the mountain. I tell you, we have a good God. I love looking for old books. And when I with preachers, I ask them, I can't play golf. I can't do things like that. So I like to go Goodwill stores and things like that, look for old books. Well, I found one that's printed in England in 1911. And it has some wonderful things on the 300th anniversary King James Bible. Oh, it's got great things. 50 cents I bought this. It's called Cheering Words. About 10 pages missing in the front, so got it for 50 cents. I jewed them down a little because it didn't have all the pages. And I tell you, I got a blessing. Like this. Oh, you're going to like this. Listen here, this is a good one. This church member. Now, this happened. This written 1911. The event took place in 1800. This church member went to his pastor and he said, here, I brought your Bible. He said, my Bible? What do you mean? Yes, this is your Bible. He opened up. There were parts that were cut out. There were parts that were missing. There were leaves that were gone and verses taken out. The minister said, what do you mean? He said, well, you told us from pulpit, this part not inspired, another part not true, and that part not believed. So I went home, cut it all out, and I brought you your Bible. Mine's got it all in it. Isn't that good? Boy, howdy, that word 50 cents right there, wasn't it? Look here at this one. This one I wanted to give you. This is a story of climbing Mount Washington. A man and his daughter climbing Mount Washington, and they got lost on the way up, and it got cold, and they were exposed to the cold in the night. They didn't have tents and so forth. They huddled together to keep warm that night. But after he fell asleep, his daughter fell asleep and died. The cold. He woke up the next morning, his daughter dead. And to his tragedy, he found out he was just a few feet from seeing what they called the tip-top cabin of safety. If they would have gone 10 more steps, they would have seen that cabin. But they quit just short. I think how many times Christians quit just short of the top. If you just take a few more steps, you're right next to it now. Just take that next step. You can make that step. You can do that. I love little things like that. I look for them. I pray. I read. One of the things I read is because I want to find out how hurting people make it. And if I've not been through it, I'd like to read those that have been through it. So God can use that to just tender my heart when I meet them, when I get to know them. I was thinking and how the Lord has helped me in so many ways. Let me give you the last thought here. Then I'm going to close. Listen to this. You've been so kind. Thank you. Not only did he remember God in the low place, in the high place, but then in verse 6 he said, from the hill Miser. The hill Miser. Now, if you've got a study Bible, if you've got a King James study Bible, what you're going to find in the margin, and this marginal note, by the way, the Bible I carry, my King James Bible, one reason I like a wide margin is the marginal notes are the same that they had in the 1611. They put in this, and it just helped me. I like it. But here, this note they have. The miser is called the little hill. We need to remember God in the little places. Oh, I tell you, you just look around and you'll find that God is in the little places. I just love how the Lord so good, and he know I need to laugh and get tickled times, so he let things happen to me. He does. When I went through my scooter wrecks, now I can't drive to Oklahoma. All I can do is drive airport back. I had a wreck, had a seizure, light seizure, had a wreck, and I never hurt anybody. I never hurt any property. I landed in a farmer field. Only one got hurt, me. Broke my collarbone, just a couple ribs is all. And that against the law. Now, I can't believe it. A man ought to be able to wreck when he wants to wreck, I think. What law, what sense does that make? You know, never hurt anybody, but I just hurt myself and against the law. So I have fly everywhere. But to tell you something, oh, the Lord has just, I look for little things. Let me tell you something that it can only happen to me. No, it could happen McCracken. It could happen him too. Now here's the setting. This man have a big house and it have a big attic, and there was a wonderful thing up in that attic that was with the house when he bought it. Old house, 100-year-old. He wanted to take me up attic. Okay. I'm not good on steps, but I can make my way up. That'd be fine. We're getting up. We get to the little, and those old houses had a little stairway. And he turned, he didn't turn, but he pulled a chain and lighted it. Oh, he said that light bulb burned out. He said, that's all right. He said, we can make it up there. And it too narrow for him to stand beside me. So I just told him the way I do, I'll just use my hands and I'll go up my hands, feet. You go on up ahead of me. I can see light up there. There's a window light. See, so I'm going toward that. Then he said, now if you hear a little rustling or something like that, we do have mice. But he said, don't worry about it. We got mice. And I'm going up this dark stairwell. And I've got that on my mind. This is the oddest thing I'd have. I had a hole in my back pocket where I keep my comb and my handkerchief always this pocket, billfold this pocket. And that comb of all time went down my pant leg. It did. I'm going up those stairs and that comb went down. Well, first thing I thought is there's a mouse up my leg. And I'm going nuts. I'm jumping up and whoa, get out of my way. I said, there's a mouse on me. And I'm just pushing him and running as far as I could have. And I get up there and I'm shaking my leg like that. And that comb fell out. And I can't believe the timing of that. You know what I think that? I just told Lord, Lord, you're just joshing with me, aren't you? I believe he is. You know, when I really like somebody, I tease them, don't you? I think the Lord teases too. I think he just did that for fun. Me and him had fun with that. I mean, you couldn't even set something like that up. You know, if you look, there are 1,000 little things and ways that God will show you and help you. Oh, he said, all thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Verse 7. I like what Spurgeon said about this. He said, I believe in this point, David exaggerating, because that's the way he feel. He said, I believe only one could say all the waves and billows gone over. And he said, I believe that one was Christ on the cross. But sometimes you can feel like that, can't you? Oh, may I plead with every one of you graduates and every one of us preachers. May God help us not only have truth, may God help us have tears. May we hurt for those that hurt. If you not, I tell people, and I know this, and I not, oh, I wish I hadn't had to tell this. The Lord told me I got to tell it. But I'm going to have to tell you this. The devil after us every second of time. Every second. I made the big mistake. You young preacher boys, you learn from this. Don't ever forget what I about to tell you because it'll help you. And Brother Sam will agree when he hear it. I remember I hadn't seen a lady quite a while and I saw this lady. She put on some weight. And you know what mistake I'm about to make. And I asked her, are you going to have baby? Don't ever ask that question. I'll never ask again. I promise. I mean, she'll have to be in the truck and her bladder broke before I'll ever ask, are you about to have a baby? I promise you that. So she looked at me and she said, no, why? Now, let me tell you, really, I want to tell you how quick the devil works. Now, I'm a slow-witted person. I just really am. But let me tell you what. The devil gave me a lie. He did. I'm ashamed. I felt so convicted. I said to her, oh, I heard that. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard that at all. I thought that up that quick, Brother Sam. Don't be laughing, Brother Sam. I'm trying to. I'm bearing my soul, and Brother Sam up here laughing. Nobody taught me that little trick. No, nobody taught me. You know what? After she walked away, it just like Holy Spirit said, oh, okay, John, now we can lie. I lied to get out of embarrassment. I told a lie to get out of embarrassment. And that wrong. I went to her after service. I convicted. I went to her and I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I hadn't heard that. I said, that a lie. I'm sorry. I said, when I said that, I was embarrassed and I wronged. She said to me, I won't forget this. Not only because it's in my life notebook, this one of them you don't forget. She said, thank you, Brother John Cummey. I really did wonder if you'd heard that or just said that. I tell you, the devil after you. after me every second of the time. We got to be so careful. The flesh going to hound you till you die. And study your Bible. Make sure it's in Bible. I reading an old Presbyterian preacher. And this old Presbyterian preacher, he had a lot of good things to say. But hear what he said about baptism. He justifies sprinkle. Hear what say. He said the reason there was much water. He said Baptists use that to believe you baptize in deep water. Like I believe the Bible saying. Brother Dave said last night, I believe that's the way the Lord did it. He said, oh, no, that doesn't prove immersion. It is just that he had to sprinkle probably 1,000, 2,000 people, took a lot of water. So I decided I'm going to try that. So I get my motel room, I get off plane, I'm going to see how much water it takes to sprinkle Presbyterian. So I ask him, have me some water. Now, I'm not real good counting, all right? My Donna, I don't know math real good. My Donna do all the math for me. But I carry a generator with me, and I can add, subtract, push buttons. I can do that. So I get to room, and I take this bottle of water, and it holds 8 ounces. 8 ounces. I'm not the funny part yet. Would you just listen? 8 ounces, okay? And I'm in a nice motel. You can tell a nice motel they have 2 trash cans. If they got 2 trash cans. The one I'm in got 2 trash cans. When they get 3, buddy, you in big cotton then. Oh. And I take 3 of those bottles of water. I drank the good out and then I filled it up with the bad. And I poured 3 of them. And then I sat there, this one trash can, this other. And I start counting. Now, I don't have linear learning ability. I can't count 100, but I can count 10 and put a mark. So that way I'm doing it. So I sprinkled 10 of them, put my mark, and I sprinkled 10 more. I had 20 ounces of water, 3 of those bottles, 20 ounces of water, and I sprinkled 400 Presbyterians. It don't take a lot of water to sprinkle 1,000. John Baptist could have had a 5-gallon slop bucket and baptized 2,000 them rascals. The reason he need much water is because he put them under, amen? And he put them all the way under. This past summer, a pastor called me and... he has a wonderful church and college, and he called me and asked me to come give my testimony at this meeting. And I thought that what I'm going for, when I get there, he's giving me an award. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I didn't deserve it. I felt terrible getting it. The person that was getting the award there before me was one of the dearest missionary men of God. You know, I think God showed me a little bit how it's going to be at judgment seat. Here, this man getting an award before me. Now, you think of this. Dr. Sam, this man, because of his faith in Christ, while he holding his child, the child was shot and killed in his arms. They were told, even in a Muslim country, and they were told, if you are a believer, if you're a Christian, get off the bus. You've heard the story, haven't you? And I heard him tell that night when he gave testimony. He's so honest. He said, I wanted so bad not to get up. But I had to. And he told his wife's secret. When we get off bus, you run hard as you can. He figured what coming. And they did run. But while they ran, his son killed and he wounded. You know what? After that, I thought, oh, I believe at judgment seat of Christ, I want to be so far behind Apostle Paul that I can't even see him. I really mean that. You think of that man, what he'd been through. We think ourselves we get a headache or something like that. Boy, what Paul through. They gave me this ward. I honestly, because I'd never seen an old-time plow, I didn't really know what the thing was when they gave it to me. I just, being honest, I had to go down and ask when I sat down, please tell me this is. And it had to do with the scripture, putting hand to plow. When they gave it to me, I thinking, oh, what am I going to say? You ask me, say something. And I told this. I said, let me tell you. I said, I remember in those early days of my illness, my Donna taking care so good of me. Now, you got to remember, in those early weeks, she had to do everything for me. Now, you know what I mean. I say everything. And I remember one day after she cleaning me up again and different thing, I said to her, Donna, why are you so good to me? Why you take care so much of me? And I remember she said two things. She said, number one, I promise I would. Promise? I don't remember promise when that. And then she went and got our marriage vows. And she read them in sickness, health, better, worse, death us part. And I look at her and I said, thank you, honey. I'm so sorry it this bad, but thank you. And then she said, but main reason, I love you. And she gave a big old hug. I said, when I get heaven, I'm going to go, Lord, and say, Lord, why you been so good to me? And I think Lord going to say two reasons. Number one, a promise of it. And he's going to remind me, Romans 8:28. All things work together good, them love the Lord. Say, John, I told you, you just love me. I take care of everything else. And I'm going to say, Lord, thank you. And then I think God is going to give me a big old hug. And I think God a good hugger. And he's going to say, John, the main reason, I love you. I love you. And I'm going to just bask in that forever. Somebody might need you to say, I love you. Somebody might need you to be God's hand to touch them. You're going to go through some deep, deep time. You're going to go through some dark, dark valley. But you have a God walk with you through it. And you always got hope. No matter bad it get, you always got hope. Let's pray. Lord, I sure love you tonight. I thank you loving me. Thank you being so good to me. Lord, I really look forward to when I see you and can thank you. Lord, I want to begin doing that better right down here now. Lord, I'd like every one of us preachers, missionaries, every pastor, wife, every teenager, God, nobody can touch another teenager like a teen. God, there are people out there that are hurting, and even though all your billows may not be over them, they, like David, they feel like it sometime. Oh, dear God, the same God that reached down and lift David up can reach down and lift us. We can remember times of joy and happiness, and maybe somebody's deeply, deeply hurt us. Oh, God, may we lean on you stronger. And dear Lord, I know I cry a little easier, maybe some people. But I do pray you'll give every one of us some tears for somebody hurt. Please, God. And I just pray that you will take each person here hurting tonight. And nobody may think they're hurting. It may look on outside everything fine. But their soul is so down. Would you lift them up? Please bless invitation real good. That my prayer, Jesus' name. Let's stand.